and welcome to Two Peas in a Pod. We're currently living in a time where there's seemingly a lot of negativity on the news and social media, so we're here to show you that that's not the case. We'll find great things happening around the world and to celebrate positive news rather than making it a token piece at the end of a news bulletin. We'll be talking to each other as well as guests and see how they're celebrating positivity. This won't be preachy and it won't be political. Our plan is to be positive and hopefully have a good laugh along the way. His name's Kez.
His name's Ben.
And welcome to episode 42 of Two Peas in a Pod.
We're 42, mate. 42. Get in.
This, according to the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, means we're going to answer everything.
Yes. Or
the answers to all.
it's the answer to life, the universe, and everything. Yes.
Yes.
As is this episode, as you will find out.
Oh, literary humour. Yeah, man, how are you, dude? You good?
Good. Very good, thanks. How about yourself?
Yeah, all good. Excited for this episode, which is a bit of a long bumper episode.
It is a bumper episode.
Yeah, we had a chat with Raiders, an amazing post-hardcore Welsh band, who some of you may know. Two of the members were in the band The Blackout. And they are now this new band, Raiders, and it's going to be a really wicked chat. Super, super excited for you all to hear it. But yeah, there's four of them, and it was a bit of a long chat, and I thought, you know what? As an editing process side of things, all of this is just a wicked chat. There's no point in sort of going, let's remove things, let's keep it all in. So
yeah, it's just pretty organic, most of it, isn't it? It's pretty as it was. So yeah, man. Just before we get into this interview, as we said, it's pretty organic. We've left everything pretty much as it was. And that does mean there will be a little bit of swearing in it. So if you are listening with young children / people who hate swearing, either make them leave the room or cover their ears with a nice, lovely pair of earmuffs. Just for the bits where they're swearing. Just for the, you know, if you hear one, quick earmuffs and then take them off again. But yeah, just to let you know, there's a little bit of swearing. Only a little bit, a smattering, should I say.
So yeah, that's right. If you've got any little ones listening, you might want to have a quick listen to this first and see what you think. So I think without further ado, mate, should we get straight into it?
Let's bloody well do it.
Let's do it.
So this week, we are really excited and somewhat privileged, shall we say, to be joined by the Welsh post-hardcore quartet known as Raiders / Raiders UK. So we've got Sean, Bob, Brian, Styx, and Ben's there as well. Everyone's here. Welcome to the show. How are we going?
Hey. How's it going?
Hello.
What's happening?
So if we just get down to it. So for listeners out there who may not know who you guys are, how did you come around? I'll throw it to Styx first. How did you guys come about?
So Sean and I have been friends for probably about 4 or 5 years previous to the band starting. Ryan and I went to college, so we've been friends for probably 20 years, unfortunately. Just jokes, Ryan, let me know.
I'm getting off all of my friends.
Basically, we'd all been in different bands. Everyone knows where Sean and Bob came from, if you don't, they were in a band called Blackout. I'd been playing in a band called The Guns, and all of our bands had kind of come to an end. So we'd all been sort of sitting around, twiddling our thumbs, wondering what we were going to do next musically. And Sean had asked me a couple of times if I'd want to come play drums. I kept saying yes, but I was working through some injuries. So it got to a point where I think they were fed up waiting for me. And I was like, I could tell they're fed up waiting for me. Go on, and I got to just play through this injury. Bob had a truck full of songs written. So we just got in a room and started jamming, just the three of us.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, I think it kind of came off the back of, like Styx said, me and James used to be in a band called, or Bob used to be in a band called The Blackout. And I think we just had like 3 years without being in a band. And I think after me starting my podcast, I kind of realized that I needed it again.
Yeah.
And I needed to be in a band and I needed to be on stage, even if it was to nobody at all. I just needed to be on stage, telling jokes, beating myself up on stage and listening to Bob's riffs.
Nice.
So, yeah, we decided, I phoned Bob up and I said, Bob, have you got any riffs? What a stupid question. I was, didn't even need to make the call really, because I knew he did.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we got together, like James, like Stick said, yeah, we got together. We kind of practiced for like 18 months, I think, as a three piece, because for some reason in South Wales, all the bassists have disappeared. I don't know if this is like a pre-COVID thing, like they knew it was coming. Perhaps all the bassists in South Wales are psychic, but they literally all disappeared. And we had two people who even said, yes, I'll play bass for you.
Yeah,
I'll learn the parts. We sent them the songs. They said, yeah, I've learned them, yeah. And then the day of the rehearsal, they decided that they weren't coming. And then we were like, oh, okay. And then realized that they probably hadn't even listened to the songs, let alone learned them. So
one of those bass players definitely hadn't listened to the songs, because I sent them to him via WeTransfer and it tells you when they downloaded them.
That's very true. Yeah, yeah. Oh, man.
It did. Oh, okay. Yeah, so we were like just desperate to start playing again, I guess. And then, yeah, we finally got the four of us together, and yeah, we jammed in a room for a little bit, and then we did a couple of little shows where we rehearsed, and then we ended up doing shows at Funeral for a Friend, which were insane. So we went from playing to like, I don't know, 70 or 80 people or whatever in this small rehearsal room venue to doing Shepherd's Bush Empire to 2,500 people, which is
a jump. Yeah.
It's a bit of a step. It is a bit of a step.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, we did that.
And yeah, how was that for you guys? Sort of that, doing that jump, was that just sort of like, you know, feeling like you were back at home in a weird way? You were obviously saying you were missing out on being at gigs and stuff.
Yeah, for me, I just, it was, yeah. Well, this is the thing. This is what I realize now, looking back and now in hindsight, I realize I just wandered on stage like it was any other gig.
Mm.
I looked about. I literally told the audience, and I don't plan anything prior to it. I walked out. I literally looked at the audience. And I went, I don't think you're going to enjoy this. And then we just started, and we just rocked out. And I remember after the gig, then we like went back to the dressing room. God, that was a cool gig. And I just remember Ryan just being like, I can't believe we just done that. Can we go do that again? Can we do that again? I was like, oh, we can't. Funeral for a Friend are on. but yeah, it was just awesome. And to be honest, like, because me and Bob have, you know, we were in a band for like 13 years as our job. Mm. Like it did become kind of blasé, and I did become kind of jaded by it then to some extent, to be like, well, oh, it's just another gig, like whatever, Shepherd's Bush Empire is just another gig. But then not factoring in 50% of our band had never, you know. Like, me and Bob had played that room before,
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas, you know, Ryan and Sticks hadn't done that before. And then only after did I realise, that's a pretty big gig, really.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And for me, it's the biggest gig that I'd ever played. I mean, I'm lucky enough to have spent 15 or so years as a semi-professional musician. So I did it, you know, I've done a fair bit. But that is definitely the biggest venue and the biggest show, and definitely the most amount of people that I've been on stage in front of. Right, for you did a lot of smaller venues before that, didn't you? More local scene.
I've played all the toilets.
Nice.
And then he got to go all the way to London to play a posh toilet. That's a giant posh toilet.
The grade 2 listed toilet.
Grade 2 listed for day. Yeah.
Nice, right?
Nice.
You're in the band for another week now, right? Well done, bud. You wanna write it down.
I'm only in the band because I kept showing up.
Ryan has won another week.
Now, of course, you know, obviously, like, we know all too well, and we mentioned about it previously on the podcast, that the, you know, the limitations have been put on us because of the pandemic, so that live sound and live music, sorry, and gigs and festivals have just really suffered. Like, how has this impacted you guys each on like a personal level? Let's start with you, Ryan.
Oh, well, to be honest, I know it's going to sound a bit strange, but not massively, other than playing shows. And like, I don't really go anywhere. It just makes me sound like a moth. Interesting person in the world. It's just working home, innit?
Mm.
Same now, working home via the shop.
Yeah, sure.
Not a lot's changed for me, like.
No. And yeah, James, what about you, bud?
It's been, I mean, it's a bit of an understatement to suggest that this has been like a seismic shift to everyone's life. But it's, I think a lot of the things, the longer that it's gone on, there's been a strange, I've had a really strange sort of relationship with it. I think partly because a lot like Ryan, my sort of day-to-day routine didn't really change drastically. I mean, I was doing a PhD, which I recently finished. And so I was working from home. I was just sitting there. Thank you. it was nothing had really changed. In fact, it was sort of slightly frustrating because I had planned that last year that I was actually going to spend, I'd spent 2 years like working from home predominantly, and then thought, oh, I'm going to go more into the university and work at my desk and like try and build it into a more kind of like stable routine, which was obviously then, you know, taken away. But I was incredibly fortunate and privileged because I didn't have to, when all this stuff started, I didn't have to worry about an income. I didn't have to worry about whether I was going to get made redundant or furloughed or anything like that. I was phenomenally fortunate to be in the situation I was in, and still am. And it's a strange one now, because I think there was a certain novelty to the thing when it first happened. Everyone, you know, it sort of, we got forced into lockdown, and then you thought, this is strange. Oh, it's never happened before. Oh, this is so weird and strange. We can't go to these places. How very strange.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but then the weather was nice. It was spring. It was like a nice time of year, and I think it was a little bit easier to kind of deal with it. But like sitting here now, like a year later, and like even, you know, by the end of the summer, I was starting to think, I was really itching and feeling the lack of being able to A, play shows,
yeah, yeah,
and B, go to shows, because they're such an amazing sort of communal thing. There's nothing like it. And I've recently started watching things. You know, I've watched a bunch of videos on YouTube, and recently I've been watching old gigs, particularly things like Live Aid and stuff from like the early 90s and things like that. And I'm finding it really difficult to just look at all those people. You know, with like no, you know, it's like you're just there and you're just enjoying, and I'm really starting to feel it now. And I think the longer it's gone on, the more it's really kind of like tugged at me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm the same. Yeah, I've been watching sort of old gigs and stuff in the same vein, like of, I don't know, performances from like Reading or like Download or whatever. And you sort of just see the crowd there together and you just sort of go, you actually have no idea what's coming. Like, and it's almost, you look ahead of it now and go, almost like I can't quite yet imagine sort of a group of people being in, whether it's a festival or a gig or something like that. It's
very much so. I think as well, there's because what you really feel when you watch the video is the feeling of separation that you have, because you can see the performance, because that's what the video is, and that's great. But in a lot of ways, you're really made aware of how separate you are from that now, because you're not in the middle of that crowd. You're not in that throng of people. You're not feeding off the energy of everyone who's around you. You're just sat there alone, just watching all of that stuff play out in front of you. So it kind of throws it into like much more sharp relief. But
yeah.
I mean, I guess it's tough for a lot of people and in a lot of strange ways.
Yeah, definitely. It's a weird one, and you know, fingers crossed it can sort of happen. You know, we can get back to it sooner rather than later. But let's see. But one amazing thing that happened out of last year's festival season was 2000 Trees was doing some amazing online content for the fans. And one thing they did was other bands covering songs from Thrice's Visa album that they were due to play in full, which I was gutted I couldn't see that. And you guys covered The Earth Will Shake. And how was that for you guys? Like Sean, how was that, mate? To sort of, obviously, it's been a big influence on you guys, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely. And my former band were lucky enough that we got to play a couple of shows with Thrice as well. And I do a podcast myself, and I've had the Thrice boys on. It was an honour, to be honest. 2000 Trees approached us, and they were just kind of so excited to work with us, and they liked our stuff so much that they kind of give us, I don't know if I'm breaking 2000 Trees kayfabe here with wrestling terms, but they kind of give us the first choice of the songs. So straight away, I give the boys a shout and I said, boys, which one of these songs is going to be the easiest one for somebody with no singing talent whatsoever to sing on? In fact, the Blackout, I think we did Thrice's first Vihisu tour in the UK, And I remember Image of the Invisible was unbelievable. And I remember being absolutely wowed by that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I kind of got into the album, but not as much as the previous ones to it, I guess. Yeah. So when it came to doing The Earth Will Shake, I was a bit rusty. But we went to Styx's house. And yeah, Styx recorded all of that and pretty nice. Much produced it all. So it's he's kind of the genius behind that, I guess.
Nice.
We spent ages in his house, me trying to get it right. We did so many takes of it. It was at one point, we did it all, and we were like, right, that's done. And I listened back, and I went, oh, that is awful by me. I can't believe I did that. Can we do that all again? So we did. We did. Yeah. And then I shot, and then we shot the video like bit by bit in our own houses.
Mm-hmm.
I did mine in my friend's garage. They put us on the first, like, of the clip of all the bands doing it, they put us on it first, which was good for us, I guess, because it's more eyes to us. But then I guess it's bad for all the other bands because people watch us and then go, oh God, I don't watch it anymore. it was all right. It was good. I enjoyed it.
Mm.
I hope we get to see Thrice played in full, album in full now. I hope 2003's happens because sadly, saying that they're still trying to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The problem is, see, I am, I got to be in the top four most negative people of all time. So I'm going to say that I don't know. I don't think it is going to happen, sadly. I'd love it to. And this isn't this is me saying, it's not going to, want it. There's nothing more I need right now than for me to be able to do a gig with my band in front of anyone. Like, I just want to be on stage yelling, beating myself up, doing forward rolls, licking the floor. I think I'm probably immune to coronavirus due to the amount of venues I've licked.
Yeah, venue floors.
venue poles, walls, floors, drum kits, people.
Don't get into that.
Don't get into that too much. But I reckon I'm immune to it now, but I'm still locking down, staying in my house because I don't want my parents to die, which is what everybody should be doing, but they're not.
Absolutely that.
And I'll add to that as well. When Sean said, he came to my house and we recorded, because I got a little production studio at home.
Nice.
For all the people out there who are now going to be, they broke lockdown. We didn't break lockdown. At that time in Wales, we were allowed to have a bubble of people in different houses. Yeah. We were lucky enough that the 2003 asked us to do that, where we had a little window of time where we were allowed to be together. And probably 2 days after the re-record of Sean's vocals that he mentioned, we were fully locked back down.
Sure.
So we were very, very lucky to do it when we did.
Yeah,
nice. Well covered, Chris. Covered on backs.
The lawyers say that's totally fine. Yeah. So Styx, I'm going to come back to you. Obviously, lockdown's pretty boring. Sometimes you haven't got anything to do. Have you been blasting any new music? Is there anything really that you've been smashing at all?
New music. I mean, I've been listening to a lot of stuff that's new for me, but not necessarily new to the world. In the last couple of months, I've got heavily into Gojira. That was new for me. They kind of passed me by, and I know they've been around for a long time. But that's one band that I got massively into. That's about it, really. To be honest with you, I don't listen to an awful lot of music. I spend my days listening to a lot of podcasts. I've spent my days playing a lot of video games. Recently, I've started trying to make some drum videos to keep myself occupied and to give people some content as well. So whether they want it or not.
Ryan, what about you? Any new music or music that's new to you that you've been listening to lately?
I listen to a lot of stuff. I really like Royal Blood's new tracks.
Cool.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, they're great.
Other than that, I probably haven't listened to anything after 1997.
Nice.
It's like, I mean, I'm terrible at new stuff. I listen to all the stuff like when I was, you know, when I was like 13, 14, you know, like Limp Bizkit or Slipknot.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I tune heavily back into that and I'll re-listen and re-listen and re-listen as many times. And there's the one band that have really stuck out to me that I only really got into in lockdown was Knocked Loose. And they're... their latest latest record, I can't remember what it's called, is A Different Shade of Blue or something. It's just a fantastic record. If you haven't heard it, I'd recommend it because that's a really good record.
One of the things I do a lot is, because obviously Sean's got his own podcast and I listen to that every week, most of those bands on there are new to me. So once I've listened to those conversations, I will tend to go and have a listen to the music afterwards. And so I have found a couple of bands through that as well. But I'm awful with names. There's one in particular recently that we've all been listening to a lot, that they do a lot of pinch harmonics. Can somebody remind me of that name?
Spirit Box.
Thank you.
Yeah, Spirit Box with the song Holy Roller.
Ooh, fantastic.
It keeps swinging. It's incredible. there's guitar bits in it that sound like lasers, which is all... Well, if you can make a guitar sound like a laser, you've instantly won. So, Spirit Box... I've been treated to I suppose it's not come out till June or July. I've just heard the new Press to Miko album.
Oh, cool.
Which is fantastic. Amazing. Yeah, it's recorded by Machine, who did their last record as well.
Nice.
It's awesome. I really like that. I'm trying to think who we've had on the podcast lately. I quite enjoyed the new re-recording of the old Mr. Bungle demo.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike Patton and Dave Lombardo from Slayer. That's
amazing.
That's mad, isn't it?
I'm
trying to think what else I listened to lately. Bob, have you got anything?
I was just looking through my phone as to what I've added recently. And these aren't necessarily, some of these things are new. So they did come out in like 2020 in 2020.
Yeah.
I've listened to a lot of sort of like instrumental guitar records.
Yeah. Cool.
So there's an album by a band called Intervals called Circadian that came out last year, which is really good. There's a lot of collaborations with, I think, other sort of instrumentally sort of progressive kind of music, kind of people like that. Quite a few people from like YouTube and stuff. There's one of them has what can only be described as a just irresponsible sax solo on it. Just songs playing. It's fine. Like the song's great and you're enjoying it. And then the sax starts and you feel overdressed. And you're like, oh, I don't know what I should be doing. I don't think I should be listening to this in public. So so what else have I got here? I've got another guitarist is an Australian guitarist called Pliny. He had an album called Impulse Voices, which came out.
His name is Pliny. Of course, is it more Australian
as well?
His name is obviously something Plin, and they've done the Aussie thing.
I did the same thing. I went, your name's not Pliny. Don't be stupid. And I looked, and his first name is Pliny. So his parents were like, your name should be Pliny. He's like, well, I best start learning guitar now, then, really, shouldn't I?
James, we actually went to see him.
We
went to see him, didn't we?
Periphery,
yeah.
And then I've got Kiss from a Rose by Seal.
Banger
from the Batman Returns soundtrack, I think.
Batman
Forever.
Yes. Alice in Chains is Dirt, which is not new to me, but I've just
great record,
revisited it recently.
Yeah, nice.
Guitar's first album from 1980 or something, which has got pop. It's just, you listen to it and you go, oh, that's what Weezer and Motion City soundtrack were doing. Just that.
Right. Ah.
So that's my like up to date thing. And then there's like some more kind of like unusual, well, not unusual, but just not so new and not so new stuff on there as well.
Ah, awesome. Nice one. I mean, the reason we started the podcast is because we felt that there was a lot of negativity in the world. Especially since the podcast, since the pandemic.
Yeah.
And we noticed during the lockdown, there was a lot of, you know, sort of positive, you know, things came out of the woodwork, you know, sort of everything started creeping out. Is there anything especially that you've noticed positively that's happened in the last sort of 12 months? If I'll go to each of you, I see a lot of hopeless faces. Is there anything particularly positive that you guys have noticed or seen or been a part of in the last 12 months? Let's go to Sean.
Oh, bugger. A big part for me has been getting to do my podcast through all this. I think it's been a massive mental health tool for me, to be honest, because otherwise I would literally just be sat here in my house on my own. But like, we had Bert McCracken from the Used was the first one we had when we went into lockdown or whatever, and we were like, how is this gonna go, and we were using Zoom or whatever, and we were like, we don't know if we can, but yet we have managed to use a business term, which I hate, we have managed to pivot to to carry on. So not just the podcast and it's conversations like this as well. It's like, sometimes I'm not even like wowed by who the guest is. I'm just happy to be having a conversation with somebody. And then also from my podcast, we decided to make a Patreon just to see if anybody would help us out or whatever, help us make the podcast. And we've created like an amazing group of people who are so supportive of the podcast, the band, any bands we have on, they love them.
Amazing.
They're just like the best bunch of people. And it's like, it's honestly like misfits from all over the world. There is literally Australians, Americans, Canadians, French people, Germans. We've got boys, girls, non-binary. It's been such an insane community. We've made this thing thinking, oh, this will be a laugh, if anybody will support us, that'll be cool or whatever. But we've literally made a community that has started like looking after itself. So yeah, there was one person in the Patreon who took him a major set of balls to step up in the group and be like, hey guys, I think I'm gonna have to leave the group. I can't afford. I think it was like he was having to move house or whatever, and he needed
It was just after the beginning of the pandemic, wasn't it? With the first lockdown.
He'd
like lost all his money or whatever, and he was, doomed, I guess, for what it's worth. And then the group rallied round, and they got like £500-600 for him, so he could pay his rent.
Amazing!
It was unbelievable. Yeah,
and that's a regular occurrence in that group. I'm a paying patron member of Sappening as well, so I can, as an outsider of the podcast, I can speak for that. The people in that group are absolutely amazing, and when somebody's down, everyone rallies round to pick them back up.
It's so cool.
Whether it's financially somebody's down, they'll have a whip round. If somebody's just feeling blue that day, they all get together. And the actual relationships have formed within that group.
That's
literally boyfriend and girlfriend have been found in our group.
And they've moved hundreds of miles to be with each other, which is even more amazing. They've met on a group online and now we're actually living together. That's phenomenal.
That is crazy.
So, I've been kind of lucky that I've had that. But I think if I didn't have that, I wouldn't know what I'd be doing, to be honest. Because literally now, through the weeks, like I look at my calendar or my schedule for the day, and if it doesn't have a podcast in, I'm just kind of, I'll do the work I need to do. Cause I also work with Ryan Richards, who used to be, he is the drummer for Funeral for a Friend. And he has a management company called Future History Management. And they look after like Holding Absence, Foxjaw, Loathe. And, I'm helping him look after a band called Junior. So, if I didn't have the podcast or anything, it would literally just wake up, do Junior stuff, and then sit about waiting for emails from promoters or, whatever it is. And I'd just be wallowing, I think. I would just be super, super duper miserable. So, I'm lucky I've got the podcast stuff to fall back on, I guess, and the people and the support.
Yeah.
You make your own luck, Gilbert.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks, Ray.
It's one of those things as well. Like, it's for Kez and I, I'm sure, you know, it's the same exact same thing. We've been doing this as a weekly thing, and you know, promoting positivity and finding good news from around the world, and sort of going like, things aren't as bad as you think, you know what I mean? And just doing that weekly, just finding good news and sort of, yeah, exactly like you're saying, Sean, just having that thing each week just to come back to. And it's not even just something to do, but it just, it's so good, like you say, for your mental health. I completely agree there, totally.
That's a really good thing for you guys to be doing as well. I think that's a really worthy thing to be. Because I think it's a necessary like reaction to a lot of what you do see in the world, which is one of the reasons. I mean, I've basically, one of the things that I did, you're talking about things that are positive. Mm. One of the things that I did in 2020 was basically remove myself from the internet almost completely.
Sure. Yeah.
Because I just found exactly the exact opposite of what you guys have been saying. Like, you're going around actively looking for things that are positive, and what you get fed, and you are getting fed it intentionally, is all of the worst things that you can possibly want to see. And I do worry that, I think as people, we're sort of like overloading on our capacity to be able to kind of cope with the bad things that we hear about. And I think everyone's got a sort of like a finite amount of kind of sympathy, if you like.
Yeah, yeah.
When you get told 900 awful things that happen to people that, although on a kind of like global, like humanitarian scale, you're thinking, well, I do care about these people. But when someone's told me about the 75th tsunami this week on top of everything else, I'm like, I'm sorry, I got nothing left. You just go, oh, that's terrible. You've got like no actual like way of like connecting with it anymore.
Yeah.
So I think to be able to kind of generate, not necessarily generate, but just seek out those things that are good and positive, I think that's a really good thing. This is a really long way of me going, well done.
Thanks, man. Yeah, no, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's and this all kind of stemmed like even before lockdown. Like, we were sort of chatting and stuff, but we've always wanted to do a podcast together, and we just sort of said, like, this is around the time that the Australian bushfires were happening. Being like, you know, and it was the beginning of the election year over in America and stuff, and we're like, and Kobe Bryant, I think, had just passed away. And all this stuff was happening. And then it's sort of, we were saying to each other, like, isn't it funny how in a news section, it's all like pretty dark, scary, and pretty diabolical stuff. And at the end, they go, oh, this is nice. End. So why can't that be the whole thing? Do you know what I mean? Let's sort of celebrate some good stuff that's happening. You know?
Do they even do that anymore? Do they even do that? And here's a puppy in a dress.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Who knows?
My favorite one is, you might have seen it. It's done around on YouTube. The guy on BBC News who is clearly in the, it's either a slow news day or basically there's a dog surfing championship. And he just says, he just delivers peace with such disdain and just,
I've seen that.
Well, that's right. It's just, it's amazing. And so we wanted to make happy news and positive news like the.
Where does one look for that?
Yeah, just within the social media and stuff, it's actually sort of a lot easier to sort of find than you kind of realize. I tend to find it, and Casey might be the same, that if you go to like the BBC or like kind of the main news outlets, you have to really dig. But there's like some places out there on the internet that are just really dedicated to sort of doing exactly that. And, you know, they're all kind of collating and finding the same thing. And I think once you've, it's almost like a muscle. Once you've sort of like flexed that muscle and know exactly where to find stuff, then it does become easier.
The surfing duck in Australia. Did anyone see that?
I haven't, no.
Oh, that cheered me right up.
I'm going to Google that now.
Awesome. They take the deck to the fin. He loves it.
No more details, right? No. Don't, man.
You don't need any more details. Right? You don't need any more details than that.
Spoiler alert warning coming up, but yeah.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Amazing. And so obviously you guys obviously were touring around obviously before all of the pandemic and all that sort of thing. And being on the road can be a bit of a slog sometimes, you know, long hours on the road, being crammed into a van and service station meals and all that sort of thing. How do you guys still stay positive and fresh on the road to make sure that each show is as good as the last one?
I don't know if I've got a routine, really. I think I'm pretty, I'm confident in us walking into any room to do a gig and doing all right. Like, there's not, you know, like I don't pray before gigs, or I hardly warm up. That probably shows, to be honest. But I don't think there's any like one thing. And to be honest now, if you told me tomorrow we could go on tour, we're all immune, we could go on tour and anyone who comes to see us wouldn't catch the virus, I would beg to do it. And you could put me in the smallest, you could put me in a little tiny clown van.
Where
it looks like there's only room for one of our shoes for the four of us are in right? I would tour in that now.
Yeah.
Like I would do anything to play a gig right now.
Would you play Carmarthen again?
Never in my fucking life will I play Carmarthen ever again. No to Carmarthen. Sorry about swearing, but Carmarthen makes me blood red mad and I cannot let it go.
Oh, no. What happened in Carmarthen?
Guys, if you get a chance.
We did a tour in the beginning of this year. It was end of January, beginning of February. And it was the grassroots venue tour.
Independent Venue Week, which is exactly this week now.
So obviously we were doing all these smaller venues, and we turn up at a pub in Carmarthen, and getting around the back of the pub in our van was the first challenge. So we start, we eventually get down there, we start unloading our gear in. Sean goes in first to scope out the situation. He comes back out as we're unloading the van, and he says, right, the guy in charge in there has asked us, can we wait outside for half an hour while he sets up the stage? And we're like, yeah, okay, no problem. So we do that. Half an hour later, we walk into the venue, take a look down, you know, to the left of us as we walk in the door. There's two pool tables.
Right.
So we say to the guy, oh, are you still setting up the stage here? You're going to move those pool tables, right? And he's like, no, no, they're the stage.
Right. Oh, my goodness. No way.
So basically, he made a stage out of these two pool tables. Yeah. A bit of medium density fiberboard, right, which is MDF to the layman, right? Sticks, his drum kit, was basically in.
I was in a room.
It was like a cupboard behind where a stage would be, right? And you had a doorway where you could basically just see him. You couldn't see all of his drum kit, you could just see him.
I had no monitor, so these guys must have thought sound travels backwards out of amplifiers. I had some sort of magic ears that could bend sound around corners or something.
And then where Bob and Ryan were on a pool table each, right? Yes, they had their own pool tables, granted, right? That's a good choice. But then if you stood on them, the amps moved.
Yeah.
So the boys were standing in the tables and like Bob's head and cab was just constantly like, whoa.
Oh my God.
We must have gone through three of their microphones.
No way.
And they were awful. It was the worst setup. The promoter turned up probably 4 hours late.
Wow.
Any rider, because like we turned up the venue just like, I'm starving. Let's get to our rider. I'll make a hummus and whatever sandwich and I'll carry on my day. He turned up late, so we had to go and get our own food. We come and it was just such an abysmal, all of it. it just felt like my first gig. Like imagine.
Early learning center,
For lighting, he literally had a light at the back of the room, right? Which was like a £2 disco ball or something you could just buy, right? It's just slightly too big for a keychain, but it was just at the back of the room, facing the roof. So there was some sort of light that wasn't the natural, like the light from the light bulb. It was atrocious, and I hope Carmarthen snaps off and drifts off into the sea.
And there's some positive.
You can't have us on here and expect me to. I'm not going to fake it. I can't.
We wouldn't expect it.
The London gig on that tour was really good. Really good. Actually, all of the other gigs, well, most of the other gigs, were really, really good on that
tour. Yeah, it was. Nice. Most of the other gigs. Yeah. We had one other technical hitch in a venue in Hull.
Right, yeah.
Where we got on stage and we started playing the opening song to the set, and less than 30 seconds in, the entire building's power went off.
No way.
All the lights, everything. So it was right at the beginning of our set, wasn't it? Now we're right at the end. So all the power goes off. So now they spent like 5 minutes trying to get it all back on so we could just restart and play our last song or whatever. So we did that. We had a little wander around later on and we realized that all the stage electronics, so everything, the PA system, the lights, the amps, absolutely everything was being run off one single plug socket. And there was a leak in the roof above said plug socket. But when we arrived, there was a guy mopping the water up off the floor. It was like a lake in front of the plug socket. So, but other than those two incidents, the rest of that tour was phenomenal. We had a great time.
That is crazy.
They did have a boxing ring, mind?
They did have a boxing ring.
Yeah, the backstage was a boxing ring. But other than that... Yeah, basically, we have a song called Destructobot. I don't know if you've heard it, right? But at the end...
Yeah, great tune.
Thank you very much. Because I'm so sarcastically miserable, the end of it goes, everything is turned to shit. Fuck yeah! Right? Because it's got to that point in my life, right, where if I don't celebrate the negativity, right, it will just consume me, right? So I have to be sarcastic, right?
Yeah.
It was literally, it came to that drop, right? And the lights and all the power went out. We didn't even get to do everything has turned to shit. Fuck yeah. Because everything had turned to shit prior to that.
Manifesting it into the world. Yeah. Oh my God, that's amazing. So conversely then, what's the sort of like a venue that sort of like really holds a special place in your heart or a festival even, you know, that's, just a really like a amazing like memories of that particular gig for whatever reason. James, let's start with you first.
I mean, there's a lot. I think they're all really particularly rose tinted at the moment because you do tend to sort of desperately missing those experiences. You tend to sort of like shave off a lot of the kind of worst edges of it. There's one we've already mentioned, but 2000 Trees is a particularly belting little festival. It's a real kind of sweet spot of size. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the really, really, really big festivals can, I mean, they're great experiences, but they can be, you can get a bit lost in them and you can kind of just, they've got to cater for so many things and they've got to have so many different kind of acts on in order to justify their size that maybe you don't necessarily, you know, there's like one band you want to see and then everything else you're just not that interested in or whatever it may be. Conversely, really, really small festivals can sometimes, because they're small, they're not attracting necessarily the kind of people you want to see, and that's, you know, understandable. But like things like 2000 Trees is just that real sweet spot where they're going to have like bands like Thrice are going to be like a headlining band for a band like for a festival like 2000 Trees.
Yeah.
So for people who are into Thrice, Thrice are pretty like legendary at this point in terms of what they've done, but they wouldn't headline, you know, they're not a band that would be successful enough to headline a major festival, but they can bring, you know, they've got the profile to kind of fill that in. And then you can like, sort of like fill that like lineup out with, you know, with loads of other sort of bands that are like sort of smaller than Thrice, but Kindred Spirits. So there's quite a big kind of like chance of like not only lots of bands that you'd like, but lots of bands that you know as well. From the point of view of like playing as well, the experience of festivals a lot of the time ends up sort of like really being defined by the layout of how it is.
Yeah.
So for example, Reading Festival, you might have heard of it, does all right. It's the layout of Reading backstage is great. It's a flat field. It's right behind the stage. All the little like porta cabins where you get dressing rooms are there. And then there's like a little around the way. And then there's like a flat catering area.
Yeah.
And good times. Whereas Leeds.
It's so hilly, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a completely different thing. And it's you're so far away. The guest area is miles away. And it really does change. Even if both of them are tonking down with rain.
Yeah.
It's a meteorological term, which you might have to look up. Even if they're both like awful weather, which Reading does have in its favour that it's often a bit better than Leeds, but that's not Leeds' fault, although it is. But
with both in it.
Yeah. Exactly. But it's those kind of things are great. So there's loads of those kind of things. Download is always a really good one as well. You know, that arena is amazing, and there's some like legendary stuff that you see. So
yeah.
I'm thinking real festival stuff at the moment, but there's loads of like little venues that are great as well.
Yeah, nice. And Ryan, obviously, like where you were in, it was Shepherd's Bush Empire, I'd be like, oh my god, this is amazing. You know, what was there? Were there any other venues that really stuck out for you that were like, you know, wow, this is really wicked. This is cool.
Well, we did Cardiff Uni the night before, which was just ridiculous for me, to be honest with you. like Styx will tell you, the amount of bands we've seen there.
Yes. Like a bucket list venue for us,
like a bucket list venue.
And we probably all four of us grew up watching bands in Cardiff University. We've all seen some of our favourite bands in that venue. So to play there is phenomenal.
Amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
Nice.
I saw the singer from Killswitch Engage, the guitarist from Killswitch Engage, say one of the funniest things he's ever said in his life on stage in Cardiff Uni.
Yeah.
Where he said, this song is about the time Howard fell off a horse. This song's called When Darkness Falls. And then I spent the rest of the set laughing and going, I can't believe he gets away with it.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's so
cool. Now, you mentioned that, you know, you guys, you know, that particular venue is a bucket list venue, you know, as Welshmen yourselves. Now, as a rock band from Wales, now you do find yourselves amongst like legendary bands, literally. And a few of you maybe actually come from those bands. How proud are you, one, that Wales has such a rich rock history? And do you, you know, does any of you feel that it puts pressure on you, or do you absorb it? Let's go to Styx first.
I was lucky enough to grow up in the centre of the Welsh music scene when it was at its healthiest, probably in the early 2000s, when bands like Funeral for a Friend were coming out, and then shortly followed by the boys, Blackout and Kids in Glass Houses. All these bands were breaking out, but lower down, there were some absolutely phenomenal bands who just didn't get out to Wales. And just to name a couple of bands like Midas Uno, Pete Sick, Next 9 Years, those three bands were just amazing Welsh bands. We just had, maybe I'm biased because I was in the middle of it, but we had just such a healthy music scene. I was in a local band at the time, and we could play a show every night of the week just in South Wales. It was just such a rich music scene. So, I don't think, with that history, I don't think I feel any pressure by it. I think, I don't know, I'm lucky to, we've all been lucky to have been involved in that history. Because a lot of the younger bands that are coming around now, they're not so lucky to have such a healthy scene as we had when we were in our early teens, mid-teens maybe, some of us. So I personally don't think there's any pressure.
No, great.
And Ryan, what about you?
Same scene when I was a kid. Like, we were 16. I used to go watch Styx's band, Flailing Whale.
Nice.
They were always great.
I just realised how much Flailing Whale sounds like a definite band name from Wayne's World. Dude, Flailing Whale.
We watched that last night.
It's one of my both of the Wayne's Worlds are two of my favourite films.
Same hit. Absolutely awesome.
You book them, they will come.
Instead of a guard dog, they've got this bloody great big Bengal tiger.
That's why Cape Richards could not be killed by conventional weapons.
I did a podcast this week, actually, with somebody, and they brought up Sleeping Upside Down. Who was it?
Oh, was it Rich Wilson?
Right.
It might have been. It might have been on that podcast. I did. I did my Del Preston thing on that.
Nice.
Good research. Nice.
I listened to it. We're chatting to him on Thursday. So.
Oh, nice. He's awesome.
I said, "Ooh, Del Preston."
Oh no! I thought you were going to make some joke about Richard Wilson, and then it'd be the fella from.
Yeah.
One foot in a grave. No, it's a comedian. No, it wasn't him. No. And you can believe it or whatever. And yeah, I couldn't get over it that Rich Wilson had got in touch with me because, like, I'm a big fan of comedy or whatever. And then he messaged me. He's like, oh, do you want to do this? And I looked at his, I looked at the lineup of guests. And I was like, Richard Erin, James Acaster, Jade. Oh, what's her name? I can't think of my name, but yeah, he had like loads of comedians who I know and love, and I was like, he's not asking me, is he? So then I went and did it, and I got so excited, and I was all over the place, and yeah, it was a good time. I like Rich a lot, and I hope that I get to eventually try stand up because of him, because he said that we're going to have a look when we're all out of this lockdown, when we're all allowed out again, when we're not grounded anymore. I'm gonna go to London, and Rich is gonna somehow find me and get me on stage in some sort of comedy capacity.
Oh, amazing! So, that'd be wicked.
You should do it. One of our mates, Ben and I, one of our mates did like a little course, like a day long course on stand up, and at the end of it, they do a gig at the end. And she said, hands down, it's one of the best things she's ever done. So
nice. And yeah, now so, she's Dave Chappelle.
Yeah. I don't know if you've heard of it. Yeah.
Davina Chappelle. yeah, I put my name down for one of those not long ago, before the lockdown, obviously before the lockdown. And I went to, it was in the Glee Club in Cardiff. It was like a comedy class. And I signed up for it, but it was on a Monday, so I couldn't do it. And then I found out, like, who the star pupil was in the class. And it's just some knobhead I know. And I was like, oh, God. If he's the star pupil, Jesus Christ, they would have made me look like I was bloody... I can't think of a single comedian now. Stuart Lee. They would have looked at me like I was Bill Burr or something like that. So I'm a little bit sad I didn't go to that. But I'm also glad I didn't go to it. Because if that's the type of people they were... dishing certificates out for. Sure. It means they were giving certificates out to anybody. So, but yeah, that Rich Wilson was cool, and that podcast was a lot of fun as well. So,
nice. Yeah, it sounded it as well. So, yeah, that's awesome. Now, I always ask this question to any sort of writers or musicians that we chat to. But one thing I personally am really interested in is the creative process of other writers. I'll come to you, James. Do you have a particular process for writing a song, or is it just if it comes to you, write it? Or
I don't know. I suppose the way it normally works for me is I'm just a kind of noodler. I'll just pick a guitar up when I'm not doing anything. So it's not like, you know, 7 p.m. till 8 p.m. songwriting time.
Yeah.
You know, there's no kind of like formal thing of like, ooh, 10 minutes till I get to write a song. Like, I'll be sitting there and the guitar will just be sat there as well, because the guitar doesn't tend to do a lot on its own.
Which is a shame, really, because you paid a lot for it.
Yeah, if you could, and I've assumed the guitar's gender as well, which is probably problematic, which I would get cancelled off Twitter if I was still on it, but I'm not, so I win. all my guitars are guys. I'll just start. I'll just start playing, like, mindlessly. Quite often, if I'm watching TV or doing something else, or occasionally, it's just if I've just picked the guitar up to plug it in to make a noise, and then I'll fiddle around with something until something like stands out.
Yeah.
So I'll just be playing to do, and all of a sudden, something will go, oh, that's good, and then that will normally be the anchor point for everything else. So that'll like emerge as an idea that I think, oh, that's cool. And it'll normally end up being defined by some sort of like rhythm or feel or groove that's like in my head out the gate as well. I'll then start working from that as a kind of jumping off point, as going, okay, so what sort of tighter, smaller riff from here could be a verse? And what bigger, more open section from that bit could be a chorus? And what's very frustrating is when you finish doing all this kind of stuff and you think, Because the thing that got you doing it in the first place was that one riff that you just played when you were like just doing random stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, oh, that riff's amazing. That riff's so good. That's good. So good. Oh my God, it's genius. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. So then you go, oh, a bit of verse on there. Just need to be a verse. Doesn't really matter though, because that riff's amazing. Oh, they're going to love it when they hear that riff. They're going to love it. We'll do a chorus. We'll do a chorus. Any old chord. Doesn't really matter. That one. Yeah, big chords. Put it in there. It's just got to be simple and open. It's got to sit in the face. Fine. But the riff's the one. We'll go back to the riff then. We'll go back to the riff. And then you do it all and you demo it and you send it to the boys and they go, yeah, yeah, that's cool. It's cool. I don't think you need that riff though. You're like, that's the best bit. And it happens a lot, but it's one of the things that you have to be. What's great about that is being in like a collaborative situation where you've got other people to kind of give you that thing, is that they're right like 95% of the time.
Yeah.
They're right,
yeah,
because they've listened to it dry and cold. Yeah. In other words, that mean that it's not as nice, and they've just heard it on its own like merit and go, well, there's too many of them because you liked it, so you put it in there six times, but it didn't need it in there six times.
Yeah, right.
And maybe once.
Bob, we're playing our riff for 20 minutes before we get to the verse. Can we just cut a couple of them off? So
that's normally my my process, which is, I guess, has always been kind of the same way. I think the one thing that we learn in the old band, probably more from Jason Perry, who was the producer we worked with on the second, third, and fourth album.
Mm. Man.
And is, of course, the singer in A, which everyone should.
A?
Yeah. Should know.
I gave away his full address on that in the Membrane podcast. I literally I said exactly where he lives. And then after it, I shit myself the next day and I was like, oh no. So I emailed the podcast going, guys, can you please take out Jason Perry's exact address that I told you? I literally said, this place, right? He lives directly above it. So if you go to this place on Leon C, you go, oh, Jason Perry lives here. Sean told me. Yeah, you're talking about the hero, Jason Perry.
Yes, I know. Just to say that, like, one of the things that he taught us, like, a lot about the way that you... That whole sort of impulse is quite a lot at the time is to fill everything with something, you know, like you want to do more, you want to do, you know, let's do more, let's do another fill, let's do more riffs, let's keep it busy, let's do, because you want to add things, because adding normally you think equates to better, you know, there's more stuff in it, then it's better.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not necessarily the case, because you listen to things and, you know, he really kind of showed the two kind of main things is like do less and slow it down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You rush, you know, people, you get excited and you want to play faster, but confidence and space make things, it lends a sort of like a gravitas to things, I suppose.
Yeah.
Like, so there's so many times that we've been playing stuff and Jason Perry would just be watching us play and then you could just see him just be like, yeah, and that's just the universal site. You can't do that's a podcast, by the way.
Yeah.
So what I've done there is
I've done a visual
hand for pump the brakes with a slightly miffed face. That's about as good a description of my mind.
That's pretty accurate.
Same mime again. So that's kind of where I'm coming from with that kind of stuff.
Awesome. And what about with the lyrics as well? So do songs come first, the actual music come first and then lyrics afterwards, or is it like a kind of...
Yeah, basically how I've always written is kind of, and it's the same way that Mike Patton does. So I'm not saying that me and Mike Patton are exactly the same, but we are exactly the same, right? in that music comes first, and then I'll try and write a melody. You can't see this, I'm doing air quotations, melody.
Yeah.
And then I'll try and fit words to it later. But that's not to say there's not words already written, because like in my phone, I've just got notes and notes of... lines I think are funny or sad or just mean something to me, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then I'll try and fit them however I can into the song.
Mm.
And that seems to be, I was going to say a winning combination, but the black guy didn't really win much.
Mid-table combination. European spot.
Yeah.
The Leicester City of lyrics.
Yeah. If you'd like 5 minutes in the sun, check out this method.
Do you want to secure your Premier League status by Christmas? Then.
So yeah, so it's not like lyrics come first, unless there's a certain lyric that I know I want in, and then I'll force that lyric in, and then I'll make the melody around that lyric. But that's very, very rare.
Sure.
Yeah. I would say
on that as well is that once it's a back and forth as well. I mean, the music comes first because it just tends to be the way that we've always done it. Mm-hmm. But then based on what Sean's ideas are, you know, around the music, quite often he'll go, well, can you change where this goes? Can you have a stop there? Can you leave that little fill out? Can you put that riff somewhere else? Mm-hmm. Can you halve it? Can you slow it down? So there's quite a lot of kind of like rebuilding or like, you know, like sort of like Jimmy and stuff about that happens in order to make sure that the music and the vocals aren't fighting one another, mm-hmm. or that there's enough room for him to do what he wants to do or needs to do. So that's kind of like, you know, they tend to inform one another, I guess. Mm.
That's quite.
And also it's a bit of a democracy as well. Like if anybody else ever wanted to, you know, if anybody else went, well, I got this better vocal, bring it on. Like, yeah. I'm up for it. I'm not. This is what like, we kind of, back to Jason Perry, this is what we learned with him. It's like, you know, it's what's best for the song is what's best. Mm-hmm. Not, oh, Sean, you've come up with this, you know, this wailing melody or whatever. Like, if it doesn't fit the song, it's pointless. Like, sure, if Bob's got a guitar solo, that's too much. If it affects the song in a bad way, get out here. Like,
I don't know what that word means.
Yeah. Yeah. You're the Travis Barker of solos, aren't you?
It's like what Bob said, though. You can have a riff that he loves that goes on forever. If it's not good for the song, then that's the
only thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes he doesn't like it when we tell him there's too much of it.
No, I never like it.
You
usually come around fairly quickly, Bob, don't you?
Well, I'm fairly quickly, but...
Well, I'm old enough now that I can't possibly justify holding the grudges I did when I was in my 20s, but I can stretch them out.
Yeah, nice.
No, they're right. It's exactly what it is. It's like, it's if the song comes first, that's just like the golden rule, and it's such a simple and elegant rule, but it just informs everything that you do. I mean, you know, by no means are we master songwriters, but it's anybody trying to write a song will find their job easier if you think in those terms. Yeah. I think
cool.
So it's a piece of advice from a genuinely talented person via us to some other talented people.
Watered down tips and tricks. No, so with so the final thing we're going to do, guys, is we've got a question in from a good friend of ours whose name is Scott, and is a big fan of you guys and stuff, and just wanted to ask, what's your dream support? If you could support anybody, what would be the band that you just absolutely love to support? So Styx, let's start with you, bud.
Ooh. Okay, I probably got a list, but I'm going to go with one that we've mentioned quite a lot on this podcast. For me, it's Thrice.
Yeah.
Thrice have been one of the most influential bands for me on my musical career.
Yeah.
So when we found out that we were going to be sharing a day with them, like, that for me was just amazing news. Mm. Before we even knew that, so Sean had come to me and said, oh, I'm having Dustin on the podcast. And I was like, oh man, do me a favor and ask him, are they going to bring the Visu tour to the UK? Because I knew they were doing it in America, and there was nothing mentioned for the UK.
Yeah.
It's my favourite album to this day. Just, it's one of the biggest influences on me. And the answer from the podcast was no, we're not going to do that.
Right, so, interesting.
When we found out that they were going to be headlining 2000 Trees and they were going to be doing that in full, that was my day made.
Nice.
So my fingers are firmly crossed that they will still do that when the festival eventually goes to get ahead, if we're all allowed to play it.
Yeah,
if we can do any tour, I'd love to do a tour with Thrice.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, they're massive musical influence on myself as well. Yeah, just absolutely love that band. Totally, yeah.
I want to know what everybody else is going to say to this, so can we make sure that we go around everyone? Ryan!
Yeah, Ryan, let's go.
Me, well, given the type of music that we are, I guess, probably, I don't know, it's a toss-up between Refused, probably, and At The Drive-In.
Good choice.
You
know, if this is an ideal world.
Yeah.
The sad thing about that is, though, I believe Dennis Lixon from Refused knows about the blackout, because he once heard one of our songs and thought it was a shit version of New Noise. So my worry would be that, we'd go on tour with him and he'd be like, you're a shit version of us.
And we'd be like, yeah, we tried really hard to get there, Dennis. We tried really hard for that.
James Davis, who's your dream band to support?
The bands that I'd like to support, I wouldn't actually want to support. What I'm actually mean is, I just want to
support the
bands.
Mm. The
band I have to pick is Faith No More.
Cool.
Yeah.
Because they're just a genius band. And I mean, if I'm really, really going to be pedantic, and I am,
no like way.
Yeah. Actually, the Blackout did actually technically support them because we were on the same stage on the same day on the same download as them. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of been, but I also wouldn't want to actually tour with them because I wouldn't be able to be just, I'd be that guy.
Yeah, sure.
Well,
My partner looked up, I'd just be like, what are you doing now? Well, you going to do my vocal?
I met him at that Soundwave, didn't I, when we were playing mid-gig.
Yeah.
And, so I think I've ruined all chances with that. Because when I talk to, this is mad, it's not out yet as well. I talked to Dave Lombardo for my podcast not long ago, and he's a drummer from Slayer, and he's also in Mr. Bungle with Mike Patton. And I told him my story about the Blackout playing in Australia. Mike Patton was side of the stage. So during a bit, in one of our songs called Higher and Higher, we used to have a rapper called Hyro, but he wasn't there. So I normally do the rap bit. So during the rap bit, our two man just points over the other side and goes, Patton's over there, and I'm just about to rap. And I look, see Mike Patton, throw the mic down, run over to him, got to him, and I went, hi, all right, I love you. Oh, no, I told you I loved you. I got to go. I'm in the band you're watching. And then I ran back to carry on. And then, so I told Dave Lombardo from Slayer a couple of weeks ago when I interviewed him for the podcast. I told him about that. And he was like, I saw Mike like once or twice after that. And he was always kind of like, I'd seen him and he disappeared. And Dave Lombardo said, he remembers everything. So he probably remembers you. So that's probably why he's never come on the podcast either. So that is the worry.
I have an addendum as well to my Faith No More. Because I have one other one, but I have a similar, yeah. I've got a much more specific issue with this one, which is I would love, musically, I'd probably be a better fit for the band to with Deftones.
Yeah.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah.
But one of the members of the Deftones, who will remain nameless, the guitarist, made a bit of a tit of himself with what he thinks about things.
Sure.
Yeah. With his beliefs.
Very diplomatic.
It's just a general worldview from the ground up.
He's definitely ostracized himself with his views.
The bands as a whole are a massive influence on me and one of my favorite bands of all time, but that has really left its mark in the last.
I think we might do all right supporting Glassjaw as well. I'd like to support Glassjaw.
Nice.
That'd be the one.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, awesome. I was doing a bit of merchandise, sort of like driving and stuff in between some gigs and stuff, and did merchandise sort of for Glassjaw and things.
Nice.
So yeah, so my girlfriend's sister's other half like runs this merch company and stuff, and they were working with Justin and the guys and stuff, and so we were there side of stage at Slam Dunk was 2019.
Nice. Oh, and I was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that was a really cool one. And I was doing some sound bits there as well. Down at the festival and things, and it was just it was amazing. And then just getting to hang out with them, I was just like, this is, I never expected in a million years this was meant to have happened, but that would be an amazing
It was at that festival that me and the singer Daryl swapped numbers.
Yeah.
And I've bugged him ever since, to the point where he stopped replying now. me going, will you come on my podcast so I can rim you for an hour? And he's like, I don't. Hush now, little kid.
But, yeah. Putting them off the rimming or the podcast.
Trying to be the rimming.
Oh, I love it.
But yeah, he'd be. I think they'd be good to play with. Us and Glassjaw. I know Beck's a bit of a dick as well, but I'm sure we could get around that somehow. My brother's toured with them as well. My brother drove them for a bit on one tour. So he took them to South Wales's well-known dogging spot. Castle Coch is called, which means Red Castle. So I've got a photo on my phone of Glassjaw outside this place, which is a renowned dogging spot that my brother took him to. Of course he did. Anybody who knows my brother,
He didn't take them, at least explicitly didn't take them on the proviso that it was a dogging spot. I think he took them because it was a pretty castle.
Yeah, I think, because they're American, they haven't got castles.
Yeah, sure.
Can we see a castle? And Jay went, there's one. But yeah, also, can we stop up in the woods for an hour later with the windows down while we get freaky? But yeah, it's just such a, what I've learned from all of the experiences, it's such a mad small world. Because at the end of the day, like me and Bob, we got to go and do some mad stuff in our band and hang out with people that we literally grew up listening to and befriending and performing with people that changed our views on everything or changed our views on music or, I wanted to be straight edge because of Glassjaw and Lost Prophets and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then, we end up going on tour with them and befriending them. And it's just mad. It's just nuts to me. And now I think given this period of time, having this year and a bit off, and talking on the podcast or whatever, and literally now and again, just taking a step back and just hearing the words I've said makes me go, that's insane. I done what? That's mad. Just as I said millions of times on that Insane in the Membrane podcast, I'm just a twat from Merthyr Tydfil who's got to live his dream. And that's
amazing.
The thing about that, though, is that's one of the things that you realize from whenever you talk to people is that they're all just, dudes and girls, people. They're just the most the people that you put on the highest pedestals and have done amazing stuff. Mm-hmm. They are great and they've done amazing stuff, but they are also just those people from those places. And that's a really good thing to remember and to be made aware of, because it means that they're all gonna have the same experiences and they probably think the same thing about somebody that you do about them.
Yeah.
It's like when Daryl Palumbo's got a hero, it's probably Mike Patton. Mike Patton's got a hero.
Yeah.
And on it goes and on it goes. There's no one who's above all that stuff. Mm. They would meet that person and just go, oh my God, it's that guy. That's great. That's that, to have that chain just keep on going.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome.
It definitely humanizes people, I think. I think it's if you do put people on pedestals, then you're forgetting the human part of them. And I think at the end of the day, we're all just people. And that's something we've learned, doing the podcast, that, I think one of the first guests we had was Dr. Ranj off the telly.
Oh, I like Dr. Ranj. Yeah. My daughter loves Dr. Ranj because he did Strictly.
Yeah, that's right.
And he was one of the first. And at first, I remember, this is the first sort of person, celebrity, if you like, that we've interviewed. And then, I think Ben and I, Ben, knows him. So, Ben was all right with it. But yeah, and I think it took me a second before I was like, no, this guy's just a human, He's just doing his thing. We're doing our thing. And then we get to that crosses paths for a minute. And
it also helped that he was really, really drunk as well. But that was
He's absolutely.
Dr. Ranj was drunk,
hammered.
He'd been to a christening or something,
The majority of the time I've ever seen Dr. Ranj is on CBeebies, which is mainly aimed for under fives.
Alcohol-free.
It's alcohol-free mainly, isn't it?
Juice and milk. He'd been to a christening or something and then sort of came back, and because I know him and stuff, it wasn't I've got to sort of have my TV sort of face on as such. And it was just
he was just pissed,
honestly, there was one point where it was guys, I've got my corn sausages and I don't know what dip I should have. I'm mayonnaise? No mayonnaise. What should we do? And we just this went on for 5 minutes.
yeah,
it was hilarious.
5 minutes talking about.
Yeah, like you said, at the end of the day, right? Everybody is just human, and like Axl Rose has bumped his head getting out of a taxi. Brad Pitt would have caught his cock in his zip at some point. Like we are literally all the same. We are pretty much all the same. And that's a big part of what I've learned from doing all this stuff. And yeah, what I've learned from doing podcasts is if I don't give it too much thought about who the guest is, like if I just come on half hour before, write some notes about what we're going to talk about or whatever, and then just have it like sprung on me, I'm all going to be like, oh, they're here. Yeah. Then I find I don't get in my head about who it is or what we're going to talk about or run out of subjects or whatever. But yeah, it's just all about realizing people are just people at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
And the ones who tend to have the most ego tend to be in the smallest, most not noteworthy bands. They're always that type of person where they're like on the way trying to do something, so they think they have to live up to this rock star or film star or model lifestyle, and then they just lose and they kind of get known for like acting like a dick, should we say.
I would say on that as well, it's like it's slightly related, I think. It reminded me of it, so I'm going to go with the fact that it's related. when the early time when we first started playing like big gigs, and I did used to get nervous beforehand. And then I realized it was before Reading Festival, so it was like about as big a gig as a gig can get. And I was thinking about it, and I was doing exactly what Sean was just saying. I was in my head about it. I was thinking about it. I was making it a huge thing in my head and about how important it was. Like it was important to a certain extent, but then it suddenly, I suddenly had this like epiphany that was, you know what you've got to do.
Yeah.
You know all the songs from start to finish. You know what to do. You know what buttons to press, what pedals to stand on, what strings to play. You know it. It's your stuff. It's your. You've learned to do it. The same you've been doing it in practice rooms, in your bedroom, in front of 10 people, 20 people. Just because there's loads of people, none of that changes. It's all exactly the same as it was. That, I always like, it was one of those things where I'm sure other people have thought it as well. I'm sure people have, you know, I'm not the first person to say it probably as well, but I felt when it became kind of like clear in my head like that, it made such a difference to me going forward. Whenever I ever felt this like sort of like snatch of like nervousness, I always kind of caught it. Went, no, remember, you know what you got to do. You know it. It's right there. Yeah. And I think for everyone who's like worried about performing in any kind of thing, is that as long as you know it, you know, make sure that you don't put the effort in the hours beforehand to make sure that you're comfortable with what you need to do.
Yeah,
but you know, no one's going to, if it's just the thing that you're doing, that it's like you've prepared it all and you're going to perform it for all those people, no one's going to jump out the woodwork and go, quick, look, do Bohemian Rhapsody on your own right now. That you've never. And if they do, you just go, no, I'm not doing that.
No.
So, you know, those rules, I think that's a good thing to kind of think about. So,
And I think doubling back to Jason, to mention Jason Perry again, like when we first recorded with him, he just broke recording down to as simple as it can be. He was like, look, you're going to go in there. We've already written the part. The parts are written. The words are written. You just go in there now. All I need from you is half hour to an hour's good singing a day. And we're done. That's it, really.
Yeah.
And so that's all it is. We've got the parts. We've practiced it all before now. You've done it a million times on stage. You played to a crowd. Let's just go in the room, press record, and make some magic. And
nice.
It worked.
Amazing. Oh, really cool. And so I guess, guys, the only sort of thing that final thing was, where can everybody find you online and you know, on Spotify and all that sort of thing? Where can they find you to hear your music and hear more about what you're doing?
Right, we made the excuse of giving up on the name and just going, right, let's just call ourselves Raiders then. And a week after we decided, a week before we were going to put songs out, finally, somebody had taken the name Raiders online. Bugger. So on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you get music, we're Raiders UK. On Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, we're at Raiders Band UK. We've currently got 4 songs out. They're called Unnecessary V's, which I now realize we've made it impossible to find the song by changing all of the vowels to V's. So that's solid to find. If you type in V-N-N-V, you might find it.
Yeah, okay.
So we got... And if you could do that and go and have a listen to that one specifically, because I think what Sean said is right. People can't find that song because it's got the lowest listens. So probably listen, because it's a good song, I promise.
It's a very good song, yeah. That,
though, is if you find it, you've definitely found it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we've got I Still Function, Unnecessary V's, Destructobot, and Wasting Away Out at the moment. Mm-hmm. We have one song called Animal, which we are hoping to record a video with Aaron from While She Sleeps up in Sheffield, mm-hmm. if we're ever ungrounded again.
Yeah.
And then hopefully we'll put that song out, well, when we can, I suppose. Like, yeah. I guess if we do Trees, hopefully it'll be out before Trees.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're just kind of sitting on it at the moment. But yeah, check us out at Raiders Band on everything, at Raiders Band UK. On Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, please.
Amazing. So, yeah, I think the only final thing to say is, guys, thank you so, so much for joining us. It's been so amazing.
Thank you for having us.
Yes. Thank you for having us. Look how many pentagrams I've drawn while we've been talking.
I thought you were doing something productive.
No, nothing productive, just pentagrams.
It's the that's the artwork to the new single. There we go.
Yeah, it might well be. It might well be.
Amazing. Yeah, thanks guys so much.
Thank you.
Hey guys, don't forget, you can get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at 2ppodcast and facebook.com/2ppod.
You can also visit the website, which is www.2ppodcast.com, and you can email us hello@2ppodcast.com.
Get in touch with us, send in your questions, send in your comments. We'd love to hear from you. Right, back to the show. So, mate, what an amazing chat that was with the boys. That was really, really cool, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great. It was. It included two things that I welcome greatly in my life, which is chaos and Welshness.
Lovely.
Yeah, enjoyed it greatly, man. Some great stories. Brilliant. Really good. Yeah. Great stuff from the guys.
No, it's really cool. And, you know, just to see how, like, a band's getting on during this time when you can't get in the studio and you can't meet up together and you can't really, you know, tour or gig, you know, and they're clearly itching and ready to get out gigging again. So
No,
it was a really amazing chat, and hopefully we'll see them very, very soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, if you liked what you heard about the band and you want to go and check them out, it's super easy. You go and find them on Spotify or any of the streaming mediums at Raiders UK. You can find them on the social media side of things at Raiders Band UK, wherever you can find them.
Yes, and also Styx, who is the drummer, is also putting out a lot of drumming videos as well. So it's worth checking them out because they're really good, especially if you're into drumming or an upcoming drummer. So his Instagram is Styx, so that's STIXX1985. And yeah, check them out as well.
Nice. And one final thing as well, of course, is you may have heard Sean talking about his podcast, Sapnin. It's such a great podcast, talking to some amazing bands and artists and stuff within the sort of the rock scene. And yeah, just amazing, cool, wicked chats and stuff. And they've got such a good back catalogue. So yeah, so type in Sapnin. You'll find them on any podcast medium as well. Now to us. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at 2ppodcast and on Facebook at facebook.com/2ppod.
And you can also get in touch with us on the website, which is www.2ppodcast.com, and also via email, which is hello@2ppodcast.com.
So please get in touch with us. We'd love to read all of your messages. And if you're enjoying the show, leave us a review. It really helps us out to reach as many people as we can to spread that sweet positivity.
Absolutely. And also to spread some more sweet positivity, tell your friends about the podcast.
Amazing.
Yes, tell them. And tell them positively and say this is the most positive podcast you've ever heard. Ever.
Exactly. So thank you so much for listening, everybody. Peas and love. We've been Peas 2 Peas in the Pod. He's been Kez P.
He's been Ben P with a big old P that's full of loveliness and positivity.
Oh, very good. And we'll see you next time, everybody.
Bye.